Thank you, Jesus. Y'all may be seated, man. God is in the house today. And how many of y'all are ready to listen?
Amen.
I really want you to listen today. And I want to kind of give you the rhythm as we have journeyed with God's people. Now remember, God called Abram. God said, I'm going to give a promise to my man, Abraham. Who's making the promise? God. God speaks a promise into Abraham. God sustains the what? Promise. Now let's get the rhythm. We go away from God, we end up in bondage. Y'all understand the rhythm? You go away from God, you end up where? Bondage. So we got God's people in bondage in Egypt. Then what does God decide to do? Deliver them. Hold on. Who is in charge at this moment? God made the promise. God put them in motion. God allowed... Now this is the part we don't like. God allowed them to be taken into what? Bondage. But who delivered them? So God delivers them. We get to the Red Sea. Remember when we get to the Red Sea, what's the problem?
Water.
That's good observation. Water. I like that. What's the problem? Water! We got a whole sea and we got an Egyptian army. What direction are they coming? Come on, how many of y'all have ever had that happen in life? You got too much in front of you, and what is behind you wants to kill you. This is impossible, and this is no good. Any of y'all ever been between those two places? And God says, I will deliver you, check this out, in what you think is impossible. Now check this out. This is always the rhythm. What you and I think is impossible, God always says what? Possible. How many of y'all live in that? Now, I'm going to tell you right now, that's the church we got to have in America today. That's the church that the world hadn't seen in about 50 to 60 years. The followers of Jesus says, it's not impossible. God says it's possible. Those people aren't hopeless. God says they are hopeful. You see, you got to get this rhythm. And then we come to the point, remember right before Easter, they come into the presence of God. They wash themselves, they clean themselves, they embrace themselves and get ready for God to speak. And now we come to a moment, Exodus 19 and then into the 20th chapter. Now this is going to be, are y'all really listening today? Well, I mean, you're really going to listen today. Come on, I'm kind of fired up today. Let me tell you what happened today. Today, sometimes God goes, bang, get it! And some people got it today. I've never apologized for my passion. I'm going to heaven, and here's what I believe. Without Jesus, you're going to hell. So since I believe that, what am I going to try to tell you about? Yeah. Jesus. Watch this. If you had cancer and I had the cure to that, what would be my obligation in your opinion? If you had cancer and I had the cure, what would you want me to do? Or would you want me to just hand it out little bit by little? Would you want me to just be politically correct with it? Or would you want me to be impassioned about your cure? Well, how much more passion do we want? Last week we celebrated a God that was willing to lay out His physical existence in death. And 3 days later, come out of death and say, live! We ought to be passionate people. It's okay. People may look at you and go, hey, you're crazy. People look at me all the time. They go, you like this all the time? They ask Elizabeth this all the time. They go, is he like that all the time? She goes, yeah. She goes, in the morning he's like that. In the afternoon he's like that. She goes, what about when he's sleeping? She said, it's the only time we don't hear him. You gotta tell it. Well, guess what? I want you to tell it. I don't want you to be crazy like me, but I want you to be in love with Jesus. And He'll use your personality and who you are. Now, God's got some structure. Now, listen, you got to listen to me today because this is something that's really messed up. There is no freedom unless you have boundaries. Oh, man, it's going to be crazy. There is no freedom unless you have boundaries. What does that sound like to a teenage mind? Yeah, oxymoron. A big word for a little guy. Did you hear that? It's an oxymoron, Pastor. An inverted metaphor, yeah? And so, he's going back and forth. Well, what Boundaries lead to freedom. Somebody work with me here. Boundaries lead to what? Now I want y'all to listen to this. And God has delivered the people. God has called the people. God has provided for the people. God's presence is among the people. Now, here, when I say all these things, is anything different in our relationship with God today? No. God's still here. Now check this out. And he brings Moses to the mountain. And we're fixing to get some boundaries that bring life. You know them as the Ten Commandments. But they're really boundaries that bring what? Life. God's all about life. God's always been about life. And it starts, get with me here just a second, we got to be just a little bit philosophical. Somewhere down the line, you got to decide if God created you. You see, I believe that God made you. I don't believe that you evolved. I believe that you were made. I think there's a big difference in evolving species and made species. I think that changes the way you look at everything in the world. Because guess what? If I believe God made you, and that's my belief, I believe God made you, does that change how we relate? Yeah. If I believe you evolved, then guess what? You might still be evolving, sister. So I don't know what you are yet. But I know what most of you are. No, really, I know what all of us are. Human beings. That's pretty incredibly cool, yeah? How many of y'all believe God made human beings? Yeah. Which is, I don't have a problem with biological stuff. I leave that to you sciences. That's great. It doesn't even interfere with me. I know God created, and I know He created you. Fact. I believe God paused when it came to human beings. I don't believe you're made like any other species. I've watched my dog. He and I do not act alike. When my wife tells me to sit, I don't. Even when she holds out a liver jack treat, I still don't sit. He sits. God made me a different creature. Made me a what? Human being. I decide. I function. I want to know. I ask the question, why? I want to live. I want to live everything that God has, because I'm a human being. God loves human beings. He made you. He redeems us. And God's got boundaries for our freedoms. Now let's see what happens. First, in Exodus chapter 19, Moses remembers the rules. He remembers the boundaries. He remembers the way things God said they should be. Verse 23, Moses said to the Lord, "The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai because you yourself warned us. You put limits around the mountain and set it apart as holy." Now hold on. Why was the mountain holy? Come on, y'all talk to me. Y'all been alive today. If y'all want to sit and stare, there's plenty of sit and stare churches in town. Okay, watch. Why is the mountain holy? God said it was. Hold on. Stokes, why are you holy? That's exactly right. You're holy because God's... Tishner, why are you holy? Because Jesus made you that way. God said it. How many of y'all understand? That's the way you get holy. Some of y'all are going, "Well, Pastor Steve, I'm holy because I ain't never drunk a beer." Guess what that means? You ready? Guess what that means? You've never drunk a beer. So if you've never asked Jesus into your life, here's what you're going to be: sober in hell. You might want to be drunk there. You see, let's get real. You and I can't make things holy. I want you to know that even the detail of the scripture depends on God. Mount Sinai is holy, not because it's in a mountain, but because it's a mountain that God deemed holy. You and I are holy because Jesus said we could be holy. We're not holy because of what we do. We are holy because what He's willing to do in us. You get that moving on. You go move, girlfriend, into the ways of God. So guess what Moses reminded him? And then he says, what's the next rule? He said, the Lord replied, go down and do what? Go down and bring Aaron up with you. But the priest and the people, what are they supposed to do? They must not force their way through and come up to the Lord. Now, there was a boundary. Let me tell you something. Sometimes there's a boundary. Here's what I want you to know. Everybody's important. How many of y'all believe that? How many of y'all believe, y'all think I'm just messing with you today? How many of y'all believe every human being's important? Okay, but here, let me break y'all's heart. Not everybody's the same. Young people, I want you to hear me because your minds have been whacked out. That's a theological term for messed up. They've been trying to pound in y'all's heads since you were in kindergarten that everybody needs to do the same thing and life should be fair. I have a word for this concept, but I will not use it. Okay? Life is not fair. There is no such thing as fair. Fair is not in existence. Okay? Some people get some breaks. Some people don't get some breaks. That's life. That's real. That's a fact. But you got to move through and find God moving in you no matter what. Here's where we're messed up. Equality does not mean sameness. You get Billy Duvall up here singing, you know what I'm talking about, Billy got more notes than they're on the chart in one voice. You get Billy up, now guess what? Some of you great prayer warriors, y'all can come pray over me, put anointing oil on my feet, jump up and down in the name of Jesus, and I'm going to not be able to sing, and Billy's going to be able to sing. Why? God looked at Billy and he said, sing. And Billy goes, ah, ah, ah. And God goes, I like that. He looks at Steve Ayers and he said, don't sing. Does God love me any less? No. We all have different purposes. Now, there's a reason for that. We got to learn to celebrate what God's made in each of us. I believe in this. Equal opportunity for everybody. I don't believe that all of us are the same. I don't believe it. Not for the first minute. You take one of these running backs we got in here. They run a 40. I can strain. I can go to class. Coach, you can train me. Guess what's still going to happen? I'm not going to run it like them because that's what God wants them to do. You know what God wants Moses to do? Come sing. You know who he wants him to bring with him? Aaron. What if he had brought Bob? Huh? What if he'd have walked up there and said, hey, God, I tell you what, I couldn't find Aaron. He's out hanging out at the back 40. I don't know where he was, but I brought Bob with me as a substitute. Poor Bob. Poor Moses. Because who did Moses want? I mean, who did God want? Now, let me ask you a question. Freeze frame here with me just a minute. What does God want out of you that you're not doing? And see, here's what I'm trying to tell you. When you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, then we're missing something in the body of Christ. Do you understand how this works? When you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, then we're missing what's supposed to be done in that category. That's what the church doesn't understand. We all work together. This thing's not a competition. One day, just as Bobby sang, we will ride with the Lord. He will bring us all in one place, one church, one submission unto Him. And every one of us got a place and a purpose. Hello? Amen. You have one of those. I have one of those. Do what you're supposed to do. Now I'm going to give you 10 principles. I am going to run fast through these 10 principles. We're going to come back and we looked at it as a preaching team and we could do a whole sermon series on the Ten Commandments. You know why? I think we've forgotten them. Now, let me tell you about the Ten Commandments. These are not stone tablets to be put in your front yard. Some people are so excited. They go, hey, I got some Ten Commandments. In Kentucky, we put them in our front yard. I want you to know I've watched front yards. The grass has died in commandment front yards just like in non-commandment front yards. I hear this all the time. Pastor Steve, we had the Ten Commandments up there in our Kentucky schools. By gosh, I won't tell you, Pastor Steve, these kids here would straighten up. I said they would not. They can't even read the Ten Commandments. Well, here's what I'm trying to tell you. They are not down in Alabama. What did we do? Judge down there made a 3-ton set of Ten Commandments. They wasn't any heavier than the first set. Because the Ten Commandments are not an image. They're a way to live. Their power is not in presenting them. Their power is in living them. And let me go with these principles real quick. Principles for what? Freedom. How many of y'all want to be free? It's going to blow you away. Some of y'all may not understand this, but like my whole youth pilgrimage was about being free. I'm all into freedom. I wanted to be free. It may have been long hair. It may have been short hair. I always have had a rebel edge. Any of y'all like that? You just wired like that? When people said go right, I wanted to go left just to see what was out there. Any of y'all wired like that? I used to do stuff I didn't even want to do, but I just did it because they told me I couldn't do it. Any of y'all ever done that? Yeah. Now these things, if you practice them, you will be free. First is this. Know who God is. Know who God is. Don't step away from who God is. We're going quickly. Hold on. I'm going to wrap this up quick, and y'all know it's going to spin your head today. 10 principles of God's truth that come from God's mountain that go to God's people to direct them to the promised land. They have not changed. I have not met any human being other than one that has fulfilled them. And we crucified him, and he rose again. I guarantee you every one of us has broke one of these. Look at here. Let's look at them. Chapter 20. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of what? Slavery. How many of y'all glad to know we got a God that's not into slavery? Well, let's apply that. Let's say you're addicted to marijuana. Does God want you addicted to marijuana? Why not? Y'all know what happens if you smoke a lot of marijuana? Some of y'all do. What? You get stupid. Y'all met people that are 50 years old and smoked a lot of marijuana? This is not funny anymore. You're 50 years old. Dude, that's not cute. Like when you got grandchildren, they're going up to him, hey, granddaddy, and he's going, dude. Okay, that's not funny anymore. That's not funny anymore. That's bondage. That's slavery. That's death. God wants you to be what? Free. So God takes us out of slavery. He said, I want you to know who he's talking to. And then he says this. Look what he says. You shall have no other gods before me. Now, if you're going to hang around with God, he wants you to be submitted to him. I mean, I realize there's one God. That if you're going to follow Jesus Christ, then here's what you're confessing. There's one God. Now listen, some of you young folks, you better listen to me. I know it's popular today. I know it's popular to say, hey, you got your God, I got my God, and as long as they don't clash, we're just going to chill out, and everybody's going to have a God, and we're just going to morph up into heaven, and everybody be really cool. That's the world today. I've been in dialogues all week over this, dealing with war issues. And they tell me, well, Pastor Steve, if there wasn't any religions, there wouldn't be any war. I go, what have you been smoking? There'll always be war because we will always try to deliver ourselves. And we'll worship other gods. We'll worship what? One of the greatest problems we have. Do not follow other gods. Why? They're everywhere. Then he goes on to his next principle. He said, and don't make any idols. Now, I used to think idols were like those totem poles on Survivor. You know what I'm talking about? Y'all ever watch Survivor? You know, they'll show you that totem pole. And I would read this as a kid. Okay, don't bow down to any idols. But for me, it was Gilligan's Island. And they used to have totem poles on there. And I thought, okay, man, I've never bowed down to a totem pole. I'm good on this second one. That's not what he's talking about. It's images that replace God. I have an idol in my garage. It's got two wheels. And it has a certain logo on it. And the logo is worth more than the bike.
Harley.
Which is, Harley Davidson makes more money off of selling the accessories than it does the motorcycles. Because the image is more valuable than the actual value of the product. I got to meet with Harley Davidson a few years back and their leadership. There's some really cool people there. You know what they told me? They said, we've never sold a motorcycle. They said, we've never sold a motorcycle. We have sold the image of freedom. I said, well, that was apparent in the 80s when you started one and bolts flew out of it everywhere. It was the idol. He said, beware of idols. I'm not busting on Harleys. I'm not going to sell mine tomorrow. But guess what? Kurt, you don't have to take your shirt off, bro. It's good. You can wear your Harley. But we can't bow down to it. You just sang a song. We bow what? So now you got to ask your question. I bow down to what? or even this. Who? See, be careful. No other gods but me. Now, let me touch on this just because it's been popular. God says, you shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Now, let me help you with Sister Oprah. She has a problem with following God because Sister Oprah read this right here and she became alarmed that God was jealous of her. Let me assure you, God is not jealous of Oprah. What he is saying here is, I am a jealous God. I want your full attention. That's just like, I'm a jealous dad. I want my children to do well. And when I want their attention, I want what? I am a jealous husband in this aspect. Not that if Elizabeth talked to another man, I'd go crazy. I mean, as long as they're talking about right things. If they're talking about wrong things, this next commandment's going to get me. Look at here. And so, watch, I'm showing you, it all works together. But I'm jealous that when I want her time, I want her time. I want her to hear me. She wants me to listen to her. Does everybody understand jealousy there? God's not, he's not looking down at us and going, ooh, I'm jealous of your life. He's saying, I want you to be in my life. That's how much I love you. Get out of these other things that are killing you. Get into these things that are blessing you. We're moving quick today. Please pay attention. Watch how you use the name of the Lord. It says, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord. Now, if you grew up in the South, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Everybody that has said the king of cuss words, they're out, right? Really look at what it says here. It says, do not misuse the name of the Lord. You don't need to say that word, but that's not what he's talking about. How many of you all drop God's name to get your way? That's misuse of God's name. Y'all have been around people that drop names all the time. You know, you be with a friend, they go, oh yeah, Donald Trump and I were having lunch the other day. Yeah, right. You know, people just drop these impressive names to impress you. That's a misuse of God's name. And finally, let me tell you how important God's name was in ancient times. In ancient times, if you said in the name of God and it didn't come true, guess what they did to you? I wonder how many modern day TV prophets we'd have if that's still the case. See, if they said in the name of God, when you planted your $1,000 faith seed, if it didn't reproduce like they said it was going to reproduce, because whose name were they using? God's. Don't use God's name to do your thing. In God's name, it's your what? Thing. I did this before, girls. I did this. I have misused God's name. I broke the commandments. I did it when Elizabeth and I were in high school. You know what I told her? I said, honey, the Lord wants us to break up. Any of you guys ever use that one when you want to get holy on a breakup? I hadn't talked to the Lord about that. I'd got my eye on some other situations. Does that help? And so instead of just telling Elizabeth, I'm a bum, I said, I got all spiritual. The Lord wants us to break up at this time. Because the Lord wants me to go over there and look at that brunette. That's a misuse of what? See, what I should have said is, I'm a jerk, and now I know what I'm dealing with. Make sense? Obviously, Elizabeth won. Look at here. Because she was about to break his other commandment right here coming up. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it what? I want to cover this one more time. I'm going to go quick on this. Make sure you have a day to recover. Some of you exercise in here. A lot of you exercise in here. If you don't let your body recover, what's your exercise do to you? Anybody know? It just tears you down. You got to let your body build back up. Well, guess what? You got to let your mind and your spirit recharge as well. Take a Sabbath. Watch this. I'm going to blow you away. Think with me. We've been working 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. We've been spinning that cycle for 35 years in this culture. We're broke. Here's what people don't understand about America. When you take out a $10 trillion loan, guess what that means? You're broke. So the disregard of the Sabbath didn't bless our land. It broke our land. Richest nation in the world, and we use more antidepressants than any other nation in the world. Maybe we can afford them. Or maybe we're spinning ourselves into failure. Take a Sabbath. It's part of the boundaries of freedom. Look at here. Honor your father and mother. How many of you realize when you honor your father and mother, things go well with you? Kids, let me tell you something. Watch this. This will blow you away. If your parents, teenagers, if your parents say, hey, come in at midnight, and you come in at midnight, how are things?
Good.
What if they say, come in at 12 and you don't get into 2?
You're in trouble.
There you watch. So just, yeah, as long as you don't get caught, it's all right. There you go. One honest guy in this whole church. Now, let me let you in on something in your very small understanding of life at this moment of time. Watch this. How many of y'all are that a little bit older? Watch this. I'm going to give... Boy, that was so great. Adolescent. As long as you don't get what? What do we do with the Ten Commandments? Same thing. As long as we don't what? How many of y'all understand? Now, some of you are a little bit older in here. Not ancient. Just little. What have you discovered about life? You will always... Which leads on to some other commandments. Hold that thought. You will always get caught. Y'all there? Honor the Sabbath. Be respectful of the Sabbath. Honor your father and mother. Watch this. You shall not murder. Do not take life for your own personal gain. Murder. You know what murder is? The shedding of innocent blood. We've been involved in a lot of that in our culture.
Yes.
The destruction of human life for your gain. Command of God. Now you shall not commit adultery. Do we have any adultery in our society? I'm glad y'all are aware of that. Could y'all help me? Why are TV shows like Desperate Housewives number one on the list? And all that is a bunch of 40-year-old women trying to get it on one more time. Guess what they should be doing? Guess what they should be doing? Taking care of their kids. There's a radical concept. Instead of walking around Sewilla Lane or whatever that lane is they live on. Where is it, Elizabeth? Huh? See, all y'all know. You've been watching it. Right there. Been watching it. What is it? For you. Adultery. Let me touch on adultery. I'm not staying here long today. Adultery. When you get married. Listen to me. One of the things that has crushed our economy is from a spiritual type situation. Divorce has killed our economy. It's killed our children. It creates more crime. Even great places like, you know, Yale and Harvard have come to this conclusion. This is Harvard and Yale. This isn't Jesus Christ. The big boys and girls. They have discovered after several $1 million of research in intellectual depth of studying, this is what they've discovered. You ready? That a child performs better in life with their original mother and father. That costs them about $35 million to figure that out. I wish they'd call me. I'd have done that for half of that. And let them know God made a father, God made a mother, God made a husband, God made a wife. And let me just tell you, two things about adultery. Number one, you'll always get caught. Now, you men, here's what you need to understand. You are having an affair with a what? Good. Thank God. I'm glad y'all said that. At least, amen. All right. So you're going to have an affair with a woman. You young men, what have you already figured out about girls? They talk. Now, here's what she's going to tell you. Honey, I'll never tell anybody. Watch this. I'll never tell. Mm-hmm. As soon as y'all get all straightened up, she's going to get on her cell phone and say, you will not believe what just happened to me. Now, she's told her what? Mm-hmm. And then her best friend, as soon as they get off that cell phone call, what's going to happen? Let me tell you what, before you get home, it will be known. How many of you men, come on man, I want to wake you up on adultery, it's a bad deal. How many of you men want to trade in a relationship with your wife, your kids, Watch, let me show you how crazy it is. This isn't even the Bible either. I found this in Men's Fitness. I thought it's a good line. This guy said, I really watch myself in regards to adultery because I do not want to give another woman the power of one phone call to totally reorient my life. One phone call changes your relationship with your children, with the wife you've committed to, and it severely, especially, men, listen to me, it severely, especially in the state of Kentucky, changes your economy. You want to have an economic change? Go through a divorce. Half. Now let me ask you a question. Is it worth that? And I've never seen anybody excited about adultery. I deal with it every week. This is how problematic it is. Every week in my life, I got somebody coming to my office, Pastor Steve, let me help you what I found. I have never heard a wife come in and go like this. Well, I'm just real excited. My husband was really bored, so he kind of just stepped out on me. And it was just a tryst for a moment, and he's better now, and our life's really good together. I have never, in 27 years of ministry, had any wife say that. I have heard this. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to put a skillet upside his head. I'm going to run over him. Now, and some of you girls, they also say they're going to kill you too. So be careful. Now watch this. I'm about finished. Stay out of adultery. Have I covered that? What about you shall not steal? It's as simple as this. Don't take stuff that doesn't belong to you. It's not your stuff. That includes ideas. And that includes glory. Let me tell you a way we steal a lot of times. How many of you who employ people, your employee comes up with a great idea, but you tell all your partners that it was your idea. Don't steal people's glory. Give them the credit. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. How many of y'all have ever said something you didn't know was absolutely true? But you had to what? Well, did you hear about so-and-so? And now we text our gossip to each other. Y'all are crazy. Why are you putting it on text? People like me can read it. Yeah, how? I ain't telling you. Well, just warning. Anything you put on the internet will be there the rest of your life. And by the way, when you go for your job interview, because one day you're really going to need one of those jobs, they check what pictures you have put on the internet. So being stupid at 15 can affect you at 35. Be careful. Look at here. Don't steal stuff. And this is really takes care of it all. If you'll love God and do what He says, you'll stay out of this stuff. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. How many of y'all do that sometimes? You drive through the neighborhood and go, well, why so-and-so got that? Why does such-and-such get this? And why do they get that and I have to live like that? Do they not know how good I am? Don't covet them. How many of y'all ever say, I thank God I got a house. Thank God I got a yard. You know when I see coveting going on? Lanny Logan, not that you would do this, but you kind of develop neighborhoods. You know where I see coveting is in the spring neighborhood lawn mowing time. You know, you got that neighbor. He bust out the zero radius turn, brand new, 60-inch wide deluxe hydrating mower. It mows the lawn and hydrates it at the same time. You know, your neighbor that's got the plaid shorts, got the cool tennis shoes on, wearing his little golf shirt out there, sitting up on his zero radius turn lawnmower with a glass of iced tea next to him in a tea holder provided. Yeah, and he's out there. His yard's looking good. Here you are. You back it out of the garage. It's a 1969 30-inch snapper with a 5-horsepower Briggs & Stratton. It takes 15 pulls and 4 cuss words to get the thing started. You know that mower. And you mow it on Saturday, and you know the preacher said be a good witness. You're on about the 10th pull, and you start. You all seen that mower? I mean, you ready to lay into this deal. Finally, it gets started. Smoke coming out of the back of it. And you mowing. Zero radius dude out there. He's turning like this. Turning like that in his yard. And you making little circles. See, this is where this commandment gets you in trouble. Then, his wife comes out. Look what else it says there. Don't covet his wife. And there you look up, you zero little snapper mower, and you look up and there's your wife. She got a pair of bunny shoes on, with her house coat on, with curlers in her hair, at the porch, waving at you. And then here comes his wife, high heels, stepping in all nines, walking down to the mailbox. And you look up at your wife in her bunny shoes, and you go, "Hey, Lord." Now watch this, man. You have no idea what that dude has to deal with behind closed doors. If you only see him come out in now what will help you? If the only time you see him is when he's mowing the lawn, that's it. And he mows it every chance he gets. Don't be coveting his wife because that dude's in trouble. How many of y'all have ever thought that? You go, man, that woman's just really nice. Or you women do it. Oh, that husband's just really nice. Elizabeth looked at this one lady, came up to her. I'd just done a conference, and we were at a conference together. And she came up to Elizabeth, and she goes, "Oh, what is it like to be married to Pastor Ayers?" Man, I was waiting for my wife to go, "Man, he's the most wonderful man in the world." You know what she said? She kind of kicked back in that Elizabeth way, and she said, "Let me help you. It's not like anything you think it's like right now." That's what she said. Don't covet your ox, okay? Don't covet other people's stuff. But let me end. It's about life. Live with what you've been given. Amen?
Amen.
All right, I'm finished. I told you it's going to be quick. We're done. We're done. Any questions? Now, let me give you the answer. Guess what? If you broke one of those Ten Commandments, you've broke the law of God, and you've sinned against God. How many of y'all found one of those you might not have followed so far? Whoa! Now, I know some of y'all sitting there with all pride going, "I ain't never committed adultery." Pictures count. Thoughts count. I mean, y'all got some idols. I have to watch my idols. I got some idols. They'd be dangerous. It turned warm Friday and I had some things I needed to do, but guess what I was thinking about? So you can tell that's more godly. I wasn't thinking about but guess what? Luckily, Friday, I followed the Lord. He said, "You need to get these things done." I said, "You're right, Lord." I said, "Lord, is it ever going to be warm in Bowling Green ever again?" I mean, weren't y'all scared Holy Week? First 3 days, I thought we was going to have to get Jesus out of an igloo on Easter, man. It was crazy, snowing and stuff. Finally, it came about. Amen. God's good. Now watch. You've learned today. There are boundaries so that you and I might have what? There's only one guy I know that kept the Ten Commandments. It was Jesus. The only way that I know that we can keep the Ten Commandments or even have a shot at them is by allowing the grace of God to come into us so we can live in grace, because grace will automatically glorify God. Amen. Some of you, for the first time today, you've actually heard God loves you. Some of you, for the first time today, you've come to a church and guess what? You've survived. We're about done. You've seen people dunked in the water up there and you're going, "How come they're dunking those people?" Well, that's okay. Those are the same questions I had the first time I went to church. Here's why. They have allowed Jesus to come into their life. Hello? And so they've been forgiven. So they've allowed Jesus to put under what was dead. You ready? This is a cool move. And bring forth that is alive. Hello? And so today, if any person here wants to invite Jesus into their life, guess what? He's willing to come. I believe that. Jesus wants to forgive you. Some of you today, guess what? You need to come and just pray and say, God, you know what? I've been following you, but I'm not listening to the commandments. How many of y'all have missed weeks of living because you're so concerned about what everybody else has got, you're not living in what God's given you? He is a provider. Amen. Now watch. God is providing right now, apparently, rain. Ooh, big surprise in Bowling Green. So watch. You might as well get saved today because you're going to go in the parking lot. It's half flooded and you're going to have to wait anyway. So this would be a good day to kind of like, where are you going to go anyway? Just chill for a minute. Have a little Sabbath. Think today, what does God really want out of my life? What do I need to do with this life I've been given? I guarantee you, if you honor God, you don't kill people, don't steal stuff. You know, if you're married, stay what?
Married.
And if you're dating, try to find the right one to get married to. This helps. Like, let me say, Elizabeth and I in December will be married for 25 years. It's hard to believe. Crazy. Hold on, though. That's not it. Thank her. Thank her. And Jesus. Earl and Cynthia Watson, that's what I wanted to tell you about. Earl and Cynthia today, this is just incredibly blows my mind. 63 years of marriage. Wow. And so, y'all know Dr. Earl and Cindy? Listen, here's what I want to tell y'all. Why, instead of going to a counselor that's been divorced 10 times to figure out how to do marriage, why wouldn't you hang out with two people who've been married for 63 years? Because you know what I love about Cindy? I say, Cindy, how'd you stay with Earl that long? She says, now, it hadn't been a bed of roses. I said, well, why do you stay? She said, because God's blessed. Check this out. This is wisdom. She said, God has been in all of our situations. And this is from flying World War II bomber planes till now. God has been in all of our situations. And He still is. Amen? All right, well, guess what? Get saved today. Amen? I strongly suggest you be saved leaving here. Number two. If you've been saved, you need to be baptized. Why? Take the number one reason you need to be baptized. God asked you to. Say, well, I don't feel like it. I don't care what you feel like. Have y'all figured that out now? If you're coming to a church and you want to hear about feelings, wrong one. I mean, I'm going to be straight up with you. I care less about your feelings. That's the biggest bunch of waste of time. And guess what? The proof is on my side. If you don't like the world we're living in right now, the world we're living in right now has been given to you by touchy-feely people who decided to leave truth and substitute it for temporary feelings. You know why people get divorced? Because they feel bad. If you're getting married to feel good, do not get married. There are going to be some times you feel bad. What is this? If you're having a kid to bless your marriage, how ridiculous is that? You know, I heard somebody say, well, we're going to have a little baby to bless our marriage. I said, you're going to be up all night smelling poop. There's no way that's a blessing. You better be ready to be a parent. That'll keep the young people straight and narrow for a while. Amen. All right, let's let God have His way. All right. Let's stand up. Y'all been beautiful today. Pray with me. Y'all are great. I love you. It's been a relaxed day. God's just spoken. Several people have been saved. Let's pray. Lord, You're real. God, You were real today as You sang through the singers, as You welcomed us into this place, as the rain falls, You're real. And God, You're asking us to come and believe. Okay, now listen, this is what I'm telling you. Come on, look at me, bro. Jesus Christ wants in your life. Tell Him, Lord Jesus, I've sinned. I know it. And Lord, I believe You're a forgiver of life. And so Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sins. And guess what's going to happen? He's going to come into your life and forgive you of your what? And you'll be changed forever. If you've had that encounter with Jesus this week in some of our ministries around here and you need to be baptized, let's come and talk about baptism. Listen, if you want to know if it works, just come up here and we'll be glad to talk to you, all right? I can't make you believe it. Here's what I believe. You'll be called by the Holy Spirit to come and receive Him, and you have an opportunity to respond to that. But you're not responding to He rolls. You know if He's tugging on your heart right now. You know if what you've encountered today is real. We believe it to be that Jesus Christ created you, wants to forgive you, and has a life in store for you that's like no other. If you've never had that encounter, this is open today. Maybe you just need to come and pray. Hey, I've talked about marriage a little bit today. Here's a radical idea. Come pray for your marriage. By the way, you do not have to be a member of this church to come pray at this altar. Here's our belief here at Hillview. God loves people, and everything here has been made for His people. So what's more important than membership is Jesus following. Do you understand Jesus is real? This altar's open. And if you want to come and talk and pray, make decisions for just a few minutes, it's going to remain open. And so just step forward, and there's some coming already. And they're going to pray, and they're going to receive Christ. Some are coming for baptism. Some are coming just to see what's up. But let God have this moment in your life, all right? In the name of Jesus, come on, church, come on. Thank you, Lord, come on. Come on.